May I walk in beauty. May I walk in peace. Through the seasons, may I walk. As someone who for years has grumbled about the cold and dark of winter, I've slowly been drawn to recognize the gifts found in each season. I still do not love the cold. And yet, if I truly believe we are one with all of creation, then I can listen to the wisdom found in the slow passage of one season into the next. I can listen to the rhythm of cold and warmth, light and darkness, growth and fallow times. Today's message is a twofold journey. One part is an invitation into the sacred wisdom of nature, of spring. The invitation to revel in the joy of increasing warmth, light, color in our world. And yet to also notice the mud and rain and wind that also herald spring. Can we hold both aspects of spring's truth at the same time? Because that is also the wisdom of creation. The other part of this twofold journey is an invitation to look inward and recognize how we are watering the seeds of our inner self, our capital S self. This part of my message grew out of my own, which if you've been here for a while, it will be my now familiar process of read, think, pray, pace, read, think, pray to hold these messages for us. My friend Reverend Sue sent me a two-part article that I'm still chewing on, both the concepts and the hefty title that Otto Scharmer lays out in Putin and the Power of Collective Action from Shared Awareness, a 10-point meditation on our current moment. Scharmer is co-founder of the Presencing Institute and is a senior lecturer at MIT. His research and innovative work about transforming our complex human systems stems in part from these two guiding questions. In the face of accelerating social and environmental breakdowns, how can we build our collective capacities for transformation? And how can we regenerate our outdated economic and social institutions from ego systems to ecosystem awareness? Whew. What struck me in the challenging, thought-provoking article is that Scharmer looks at this current moment and all that we know of its cataclysmic disruption, but he writes, too, about the more important and largely untold story of our time, his words. That untold story has everything to do with the principles that mind and world are not separate, that self and other are not separate, that self and capital S self are not separate. Those principles sound pretty familiar. Come to our Unity Basics class and learn more. What I'm chewing on as I read is this, how Otto Scharmer describes the social grammar of destruction and the social grammar of co-creation and the powerful social fields of absencing and presencing. So I did my teacher thing. And here's the visual. There is so much to unpack in this article, in this visual. I have only scraped the surface of how it is tugging at me, and I'll post this on the website. And actually, if people are interested in the article, I'll send it out, and maybe we can chew on it together. But what felt profound to me as I read that was that deep recognition that absencing has everything to do with being frozen. Frozen will leads to fear. Frozen heart leads to hate. Frozen mind leads to ignorance, to denial. Presencing has everything to do with opening. Open will leads to courage. Open heart leads to compassion. Open mind leads to curiosity. My holy imagination is on fire. And I know I will be praying, meditating with this, considering it, thinking about those implications for what this means to me and what it means to us. But for today, I'm going to start at the end of Otto's 10-point meditation, which he wrote is actually the beginning. The future of this planet depends on each and all of us and our capacity to realign attention and intention. To realign attention and intention on the level of the whole. Through the article, he pushes us to look first here and then out. The individual, then the whole. Because co-holding and co-creating that emerging path to the future puts us in a very personal relationship with our planet and with our shared future. I think of that future as a set of seeds. These seeds, he writes, already exist. But what does not fully exist is the soil, the social soil. Without that, no seed can grow. What generates that fertile soil? It's our collective capacity to bend the beam of attention back onto ourselves, his italics. It's our capacity to see and recognize our own shadows in the abyss we face. And if we are able to hold the gaze steady, to hold the gaze steady as we stare into the abyss of the shadow, then we can transform that shadow. We can open up our field of awareness and begin to serve as a vehicle for the future wanting to emerge. Here at Unity Albany, we hold a vision of a world transformed by the spiritual awakening of all. How are the seeds of our attention inviting us to transform our relationships to the ecological, social, and spiritual ecosystems in which we live? How are we generating fertile soil for ourselves and our world in the present moment, the only moment we truly have, and yet still holding the vision of a world transformed? the future, wanting to emerge. Let's go back to those questions I asked us earlier. What has formed the fertile soil that is the garden of your life? What seeds have you planted? Compassion, trust, joy, friendship? Are there weeds of doubt or fear that need to be thinned out? Can you feel the source of all light, of all love, shining on all of it, shining on you and in you and through you? As people whose hearts, minds, and lives rest in oneness, whose hearts, minds, and lives bend toward our inherent goodness, as fully human, fully divine beings, we are called to walk in those truths. May I walk in peace. May I walk through the seasons. May I walk in that truth. Our very lives become witness to how to grow the fertile soil required for transformation. Take a moment with your seeds and soil. How has your life been a witness? How is your life a witness? For 39 years, I have been thanking my beautiful daughter for being my favorite sign that spring always returns, and for turning me into a mother. I recognize my privilege, not only in being her mother and my other children, but in being a mother. I hold that privilege with great joy, and I also know that some of my ugliest moments as a human being, and they will happily verify that for me, have been as mom unhinged. This relationship, like all of our key relationships, has pushed me to grow my capital S self in ways I could not imagine on the morning when I first held that tiny baby. But even before I fell in love with that baby girl, she was transforming me. Pregnancy is one of those trajectory-shifting moments in life, whether it happens or can't happen, whether it happens after careful planning or, like in my case, it is very much unplanned and unexpected. My beautiful girl also happens to not only be the sign of spring, but she and her life were the first moment when I really had to look at my life and answer, now what? And for me, that answer to that question in that moment and in most of the moments that have come since was a simple yes. A simple but not always easy yes. Other lives make other choices in that situation for their own compelling reasons. Certainly my yes caused ripples in the pond of my ecosystems. And yet my yes, for me as I see it now, came from a life stance of remaining open. Open in heart. Open in mind, open in will. Compassion, courage, curiosity, so that the future that wanted to emerge in her life, in my life, in the life of our family ecosystem was born from that yes. We each have those moments of yes. And we nurture the soil of our life's garden in those moments. The word Lent means spring. The invitation in Lent, like the invitation in spring, is to open our eyes, our hearts, our very lives to the energy of yes, to the energy of renewal. It's an invitation to shed anything that chokes off our growth and to see the paradox that every circumstance, even those that some might look on as weeds, every circumstance, if we nurture it with openness, allows our attention and intention to bend towards growth and transformation. So we nurture the soil of our life's garden by doing the hard work of recognizing our shadows, our blind spots. We hold the gaze steady and open ourselves to truly see our beauty and our brokenness as a paradoxical gift. We pray and meditate. We journal, we dance, we create, we muck about in gardens. We sit amongst the trees. We do that as individuals in communion and connection with our source. And then, because we know we are each but a single cell in the whole of creation, we hold each other in that clear-eyed gaze, in compassion, in curiosity, with courage. And we recognize and heal the blind spots in our complex human ego systems, and we transform the world. Let me close simply with a poem, as I love to do. And thanks to Roger for sending this one to me, one of my favorites, Mary Oliver, but also with some commentary by Parker Palmer to frame it. Parker Palmer, the author and activist, writes, "This Mary Oliver gem may be the finest poem about spring and how we live our lives I've ever read. There are no cardinals or crocuses here, only a black bear awakening from hibernation, coming down the mountain, showing her perfect love by doing what bears do. There's only one question," says Mary Oliver, "how to love this world." For me, Parker writes, the poem opens into mystery. How could it not? Since it's about the dazzling darkness that's forever coming down the mountain toward us. But this much seems clear. Loving the world means paying attention to its simple gifts and receiving them with simple gratitude in every moment of our waking lives. Spring, from the Gospel according to Mary Oliver. Somewhere, a black bear has just risen from sleep and is staring down the mountain. All night, in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring, I think of her, her four black fists flicking the gravel, her tongue like a red fire touching the grass, the cold water. There is only one question: how to love the world. I think of her rising like a black and leafy ledge to sharpen her claws against the silence of the trees. Whatever else my life is, with its poems and its music and its glass cities, It is also this dazzling darkness coming down the mountain, breathing and tasting. All day I think of her, her white teeth, her wordlessness, her perfect love. May we fall in love with the world and in that way transform it. Amen.